Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. As Dave was saying, I was thinking as I was driving down Telford Street this morning how many times I used to ride my bike down Telford Street as my parents used to worship at Temple Baptist Church just down the street here. And so it's great to be with you this morning and to have the opportunity to, in some ways, come home and to balance the universe, as you said, Dave. And some of you here this morning might have known my mother, Fran Miller. She used to be the manager at the Sarnia Christian Bookstore. And so some of you would have been in the Christian Bookstore many years ago and connected in that way. As Dave has already said, we have the privilege at Tear Fund Canada to be partners with the EMCC, specifically in our work in Ethiopia. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about Ethiopia this morning and sharing with you what God is doing in the context of Ethiopia. But before I do that, just let me just say a few words about Tear Fund Canada. We are a relief and development organization, and so we respond in Jesus' name to different things that are happening around the world. And we have the privilege of doing that through the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Some of you might know the Canadian Food Grains Bank as a Christian NGO here in Canada that gets direct government funding for disaster and development work around the world. And as I was coming to Sarnia this weekend, I was driving down Confederation Line, and I saw a number of farms on Confederation Line that are supporting the Canadian Food Grains Bank. So it was kind of great to see that and to connect with that. You know, as we think about 2020 and 2021, we've had quite the years, haven't we? You know, and we're still kind of living in that world and in that environment. But in our world at Tear Fund Canada, 2021 has been the year when we've been responding to more disasters in our world than ever. And sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in the whole COVID thing that we forget what's really happening in our world in certain places. Most recently, we've been responding to South Sudan flooding. Some of you might know that South Sudan is one of the most desperate nations on earth. I was just reading this week that 7.2 million people in South Sudan are living in food insecurity, and yet they were hit in the last couple of weeks with flooding, and so we've been responding into that. We've been responding into Haiti with the Haiti devastation. Again, such a desperate, needy country in our world, and you know, thinking about those missionaries that were kidnapped, but we've been responding with food into Haiti. Tigray, Ethiopia, the northern part of Ethiopia, has been caught up in internal civil conflict. And you know, the horrible thing that happened here in this specific instance is that there were hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing the conflict in Tigray, and they were in desperate need of food. Tear Fund responded through our partner, the Kalahewit Church in Ethiopia. We had 50 tons of food on the border ready to distribute, and the rebels turned us away. And if you can just imagine for a second what it's like to be hungry and in desperate need of food, and you can look over the fence and you can see people that are hungry and the rebels standing there turning the trucks away. And so that's the reality of what we sometimes live in and live with. But fortunately, just a couple of weeks ago, the trucks were able to get through in the Tigray region of Ethiopia. The DR Congo volcano explosion, Mount Ngorongoro, people in Goma living under 40 feet of lava. Again, trying to get our minds around what it's like to have been upset like that, and all of a sudden you're turned out of your home. But we responded through the Baptist Church in Goma to respond to that tragedy. And, you know, it's hard for us to even get our minds around this. The India COVID crisis. We have such a valuable partner in India. And right in the middle of the COVID crisis in India, when it was at their very worst, we would be talking to our partner in India, and they would be sharing to us how hour after hour they were constantly going to the Lord in prayer, just asking for grace to respond to the COVID crisis. And so we have such a valuable partner there in India. Now, you might know this person. We have the privilege at Tear Fund Canada to be involved in our very first Canadian Indigenous project through a buffalo project out in Saskatchewan. And Ainsley had the privilege to go for the very first time to this particular reserve out in Saskatchewan. And here she is standing in front of the buffalo, and she ate her first buffalo burger while she was out there. She wasn't quite sure if she'd get through that. But we are just so privileged to respond to a reconciliation project in Saskatchewan with our First Nation brothers and sisters. And we're going to be sharing a little bit more about that in the next few weeks as that project begins to develop. But can you imagine the excitement of people living on reserves and seeing the buffalo come back to places where the buffalo were wiped out? And so there's a lot of excitement in some of those places out in Saskatchewan about the buffalo coming back. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you ever had to respond to someone in desperate need? In 1984, I was going to school in the city of Chicago, and in one of our particular classes that we were in, we had a project where we had to go out and serve in a housing project. And so I remember one Wednesday afternoon going for the very first time into this housing project, went up to the 12th floor, knocked on the door, and the door was opened by a very short widow that was wearing very thick glasses. We walked into her apartment, and the moment we walked into her apartment, we were met with a wave of odor. We looked into her apartment, and you couldn't see the floor because of the garbage. The white tile was black. And here was this lady. She had been living in this desperate situation for months. And it was our privilege and responsibility to speak into her life. And so for the next 2 hours, we went about talking to her, cleaning her apartment. And for 12 weeks, we went back every week to be with her in her situation. And as I reflect back on that, it reminds me very much of what it must be like when we are asked to respond as the hands and feet of Jesus to be with people. One of the things that we know about Jesus is that he always had a heart and compassion for people in need. Needs for food, needs for healing, needs for relational wholeness. Jesus cared desperately and deeply for people. I think of that verse in Mark's gospel where it says, often when Jesus saw the needs of people, he was filled with compassion for the needs of others. That word compassion is a very interesting word. In the Greek language, it's the word splanknizomai. It literally means being moved in the very core of who you are as a person. And so when you have compassion for others, you are moved at the very core of who you are, not only to feel sorry for the situation, but splanknizomai means that when you are moved with compassion, you have to do something. You have to speak into it, and you have to respond with action. And so that's what we see in the life of Jesus. We see him meeting the needs of people. At Tear Fund, we are called to be with people. And often, as we are called to be with people, we are confronted by people in desperate need. And so we hear stories of people surviving disasters. We hear stories of people being displaced from their homes. We hear stories of moms and dads who are forced to send their children to the city to fend for themselves because they just can't afford to feed them. We hear stories of those affected by climate challenges in our world. We hear stories of inequality and inequity of people living in our world. We hear of those living in extreme poverty. And we also hear people who use this phrase, the hunger season, to describe what they are living in. The hunger season. Have you ever had to experience the hunger season? The hunger season actually refers to that period of time when people come to the end of the food that they have grown in the previous growing season, and then there's a gap between when they can harvest food again from the next growing season. And that gap is called the hunger season. Now, we have two boys in our family, and every now and then my kids would come to me and they would say something like this, "Dad, there's nothing to eat." You ever heard that phrase in your family? There's nothing to eat. And you know, really what they're saying is, there's nothing that I like to eat, right? And when you say we're living in the hunger season, it literally means the cupboard is bare. There is no food to eat. And the reality today is that there are millions upon millions of people who are living in the hunger season with no food to eat. One of those countries where people are living in the hunger season is the country of Ethiopia. A beautiful country, beautiful people, so friendly and welcoming when we visit with them. But it's a country experiencing explosive population growth, extreme poverty, ongoing climate challenges, severe internal tensions, I already talked about Tigray, and millions of people facing the reality of the hunger season. We are so thankful at Tear Fund Canada that we have a valuable church partner in Ethiopia serving as the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are struggling with the hunger season, bringing just a little bit of hope and the love of Christ to people that are feeling overwhelmed, discouraged, and disheartened. And often when I talk to our partner and I ask them, how do you do it? How do you make it through seeing people in such desperate need? And they will say to me, it's one person at a time as we are driven by the relentless love of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Tear Fund is all about. We mobilize God's church in the very poorest places to help people release their God-given potential into their communities. And so as much as you here in this church are reaching out into your community with the love of Jesus Christ, there are churches all across Ethiopia this morning that are doing the same thing, responding as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ into their little corner of the world. As much as we, as Christ followers, are asked to share our faith with people, in an equal and in just as an important way, we are asked to share what we have as the hands and feet of Christ. Love God, love people. And isn't it interesting that that is exactly what we see in the formation of the early church in the book of Acts? Listen to these words. Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added daily to their number those who are being saved. It must have been incredible to have been there on that day when the Holy Spirit came and the church was birthed in a special and a new way. Things were happening. Signs and wonders were awakening people to this new reality. Homes were being opened for meals. People were sharing their possessions. It was just so beautiful and so common to be with people and to talk about what was happening and to share all that you had with each other. And of course, as you think about the book of Acts, you also think a little bit about the dark side of what was happening in what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. But here in the book of Acts, the church was growing rapidly. In many ways, people were simply trying to figure life out. They were trying to figure church out. And then we come to Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, we see for us part of the reality of what happens when people are forgotten in the excitement of the early church. Listen to these words, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the church was growing, the Cretan Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. And so the 12, they gathered all the disciples together and said, It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Here's the reality. We know that whenever something new is started, sometimes things are overlooked. And in this particular example, the daily distribution of food to the Greek widows was being overlooked. They were beginning to enter their hunger season. And so some things began to surface in this newly created church and community. And 2 problems have come to the surface. 1, obviously, the widows are not being fed. And secondly, people are developing a spirit of complaining and grumbling in the context of this early church. What I would suggest to you is that we are seeing just a little bit of a culture clash. Acts 6 talks about it. It says the culture clash is between those who are Greek and the Greeks in the city who have come from the provinces to the city, and those who are Hebraic in background, those who lived in Jerusalem. And there's 2 different groups, both who love Jesus equally, that are having this culture clash and they're butting heads. And so the disciples, they decide they need to do something about it, and they do what any church community does when they're facing a problem. They called a meeting. And in the context of that meeting, they say, how do we get to the bottom of what we're dealing with? How do we make sure that the widows are fed? And at the same time, how do we make sure that the church continues to grow? 2 equally important things. I want to take you this morning to the country of Ethiopia. And you're going to meet together a lady named Negest. And as we meet her, we're going to learn a little bit of her story of how she was living with the reality of the hunger season. Let's meet Negest.
Tasuntai Negesti Mokona Gete Tess. Tanate Atumageti Oida Machageti Ichasha. Kase wodiani gakki dabaita yo kase wode namisa bitai mokena itin daro togatas daro waitas daro namisa beasi hega gidon kase harge kades harge sakin tanata akum sanin kwang kirinne shamada mezano tanan santime kataide waisis tase ke tawe bakadeshi ne haramacha asyo kide dumate tananatura olegene onesede osai tanat onesin Onaida, Umalaita, Metolaita, Tugalaita, Namisalaita, Hargalaita, Haikolaita. Meza Haridoga, deputy Miza Diakazazama, Uriags, Zazalo at the eggs. Mea Kamata, I sent a metanota eggs. There shadow say cut a eggs. The rabbit was set on a kiss. Tayoana Haltry, Takiana, you go fight Ayo. Hegag, Zarazitana, Shachit Elinka. Tanakesana so irritivena, did it Elinka Kesana so irritivena.
Negest joined a program set up by Tearfund's local Ethiopian partner, run at the church nearby. They not only trained her on how to make her farmland productive, but also supported a self-help group where she learned how to manage money and save for her family's future.
Tanak abale malamalede, otada mino, taatare kushiya minu baketta ka aiso bade wa ka aiso bashok akka otta wasu guye guku gallasan qaman nu ba yodaka bashok an simeretta wasu yaatiyo gishata se a ottana udanda yausu ha tarpeza limate ma bare ehiyo timirtiya giddo gelu gelada ka ottana ai fiya de manau ma de tana udanda wasu de tana wanna imede qabale mala male de imis se tana ai koiro ti di bita ikyo wata marisis biitaa xiikkiyoogaa tamaarissiini lo'o wuxeetiya immiyoni baqa lo'o wuxeetiya ekka aggaas ta keettaa mizada kalissada ta keettaa yoggidiidi oottin giyawu kesada giyaa namisa akka ashshas ha'i xarpheezaa limaate maabaraa baggaara baqa he kattaa bayzissa agas bayzissada yeddada ehaada hegaa meeshan waanana dorssaa shammaagas dorssaa shammada xoossi immido santtimiya dorssan ekkada hamishan simi xoossa sinttan wottada ta odiyo odo hagaa ita puulattidoogee xoossay tana hegaappe kessi puulayis silxana tana haka hagawu kessi yeggise bonchuwa bessis qoxxabaa baggaara keehippe maadettidappe attin cannaqetti booko nu metuwa kanttidi pinnidi guyye ehidi nu son diyaba bayzzidi he sohuwan guyye tokkeettees nuna yaa ufayssetti attin tana hegaa silxanaappe yayidda tana silxana akkadeedda ta son taani ta wozanay qoppido iqaa shammada yaas ta keettaayyo qoppido iqaa lo'o iqaa shammada ta keettaa akkada yaas silxanaappe yayidda ihin qassi maayuwappekka lo'iyagaa ta wozanay amotishin attidaagaakka shammada ekkada yaas dorssaappe shammas nuuni doosappe hegaa malatiyabaa be'ikka erokko gakkikka erokko laamettikka bookko kanaadaappe de'iya asan denddidaagaani nu duussaakka nuna laammidosona nu de'uwankka nuna laammidosona nuna silxanawu gidi be'enna keettaakka bessidosona etawu de'iya duussaara saluwa araatan de'iya xoossay wontta eta kanaadan qaattidi xiskkuwa diggidi metootanchchati tuggatiya giddoosona biidi maadita giidi eta denttida xoossay etawu maraa maraa zerettaappe zerettaa gakkanaashin saluwa xoossay eta anjjo yaagas.
Isn't that a great story? To see a life radically transformed, where just a few short years ago this lady was living in poverty, and today she has hope and her life has been changed by Jesus. In 2018, a project was started in southern Ethiopia with our church partner, Terapeza, to bring together church leaders and pastors and to talk about the needs in their community and what could be done to actually address the needs in their community and how to lift people out of extreme poverty. Pastors were helped to see that God had a way to help people live differently, to understand what holistic ministry is all about. They learned about the root causes of poverty, and they learned about what they could do to respond and to speak into that. And so when you visit Ethiopia this morning, you will hear story after story like Negest. Did you hear in the video how she was living in extreme poverty? She was without hope, with no place to turn. Did you hear that her main problem was not having enough food? And she carried the burden of having to feed 9 children. Can you imagine having to eat leaves to survive? Moms, can you imagine feeding your kids leaves to survive? The family suffered from hunger and disease, no money to pay the health center. She lost all her farm animals because of drought. She says in her own words, "I endured years of darkness, years of suffering, hunger, and death." And she said, "I had no other options other than to believe that God had a way." For Negest, it was a daily struggle for survival as the hunger season devastated her family. And then one day, I imagine it was a fateful day, Negest was invited to a church. a church like your church, a church that cared for its community, a church that had a desire to speak out and live the life of Jesus, a local church that cared for people, a local church that was well aware of the needs in their community, that had taken the training and desired to follow Jesus to where the need was greatest. At that church, if we were to go there today, we would sit in a circle actually at the back of the church, and we would hear story after story of lives radically transformed because this church desired to follow Jesus and put into practice the words of the Gospels of caring for your neighbor. Negest, she joined a self-help group where she learned about saving money. And for the very first time, she had money to pay for different things. She knew now the dignity of being able to have her own money to send her own kids to school. Her conservation agriculture training allowed her to know the wonder of having surplus food and what that looked like and what that meant. And so if we were to go and meet Negest this morning, you would hear her story of coming from that place of extreme poverty into sufficiency. You would hear her deep gratitude for all who made that possible. And even in the little video, Negest says, "Thank you, Canada, for helping to change my life." Isn't it exciting to hear how God is working and to hear stories of God's power at work transforming lives? It seems to me like what is happening in Ethiopia is just a small picture of the book of Acts and that early church. Needs are being met, people are being fed, and the church is growing. One of the very first projects that Ainsley had the opportunity to work at when she joined Tear Fund Canada was a community impact report from Ethiopia. And the project was all about looking at those churches that had taken that early training, and then to look at them 2 years later to see, had anything actually changed in the life of those churches? Last year, just before the pandemic started, I was in Ethiopia. I was at one of those churches. I sat at the back of the church with the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, tell me about your church." And he explained to me the widows that were being fed and all about it. And he said, "There's about 1,500 people that call this church home." And I was like encouraged. I said, that's amazing. And then I left. And when that community impact assessment report was being done by Ainsley and kind of pulling all the data together, I went through the report and I looked for that church. And as I looked for that church, the number was there for 2021, January. How many people are in that church? 2,500 people are in that church. Why was that? Because this church understood, love God, love people, and daily God was adding to their number those who were being saved. Right now, there's an incredible food shortage happening in Ethiopia. $100 will provide enough food and seeds for an entire family for a month and all their extended family to be able to escape the hunger season. Or for $28.50 a month for 2 years, you can provide a farmer like Negest with complete agricultural training to transform her life. Our opportunity today here in Sarnia, in this moment in time, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, transforming communities in places where extreme poverty is accepted as a way of life. Can I invite you today to embrace the words of the Proverbs writer in Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for stories like Negest, whose life has been radically transformed. I'm also sure that if I was to hear stories from the Sarnia Church today, that I would hear stories of people in this community whose lives have been radically transformed. Thank you for the way that you work to see people draw close to you. And so, Father, our opportunity today is to go beyond, is to see people in places of greatest need, and to ask ourselves, how is your Spirit prompting us to respond? Help us to be in that space and in that place as we listen to your Spirit whispering to ours, here's what I want you to do. Thank you that your ways are greater than our ways, and your work will go forward in only the way that you want it to go. So we thank you for our time together of being in your world as the hands and feet of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.